There it is. All right. First and foremost, I just want to thank Yael Ziegler, because a lot of the ideas I'm going to be saying, probably 99% of the ideas I'm going to be saying today, are inspired by her class. So, all kavod and all honor go to her.
Amen.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaro.
Amen.
Okay. Basically, what I want to do. What? What I want to do. You guys are going to love this. What I want to do is focus you. Everything that you've learned till now. And if we have time, we'll talk about Yiftach. We'll talk about Yiftach as we go. Don't worry. But everything that you guys have done till now, focus it. What would you say is the theme of Shoftim?
Shoftim.
Shaul!
Disorganization. Is that a word?
Yes.
I like it. What? Ben.
What?
What do you think the theme of Shoftim is? Close the door, please.
Judges.
Come on.
Nice. I like mine.
What do you guys think?
Theme of Shoftim.
That's saying the theme of Shoftim.
What?
I'm recording.
Recording right?
Yeah, be
awkward.
Smart. Awkward. What do you guys think? What do you guys think? Come on.
Yeah.
I gave
yeah.
mine. Battle.
Battle. Beautiful.
Fall and organization.
Huh?
Fall and rise.
Unorganized.
Fall and rise of a nation. Avi, what do you think the theme of Shoftim is?
You know what Shoftim is? That we need a king.
That we need
yes.
a... Wow, that's geschmack. I love that answer.
Yeah.
Rafi.
The rise and fall of Bnei Israel.
The rise and fall of Bnei Israel.
I didn't hear that one before.
You guys are roommates. You think alike. So let me show you what I did.
Oh,
and this
that.
Is we're going to pick apart this. It's great for taking notes. If you want, you could throw it out afterwards. I'd recommend it because it's great. It's great in terms of your own...
The sheet is very sweaty.
I think. So now, watch what I did here. Ben!
Hold it.
Please watch what I did here. Thank God, Kadosh Baruch created technology.
And color.
And color. And he gave me hands that I was able to do something like this. I'm sure it can be improved. But here we go. Basically, what I felt about Sefer Shoftim, it's a klangam, not what I felt. But yeah.
No, anyway.
Klangam. I've been in Israel for too long. Klangamrit of different ideas. It's basically a fall of a nation, which is the best reason to show that Sefer Shoftim is the safer that shows that we need a
king.
And it's a falling apart of our unity.
Yes.
Which makes us lose
our organization.
Our
wars.
Emuna.
Our wars. I forgot what you said.
I apologize.
You said good.
Judges. Oh, judges. Oh, yeah, it's definitely judges.
The
basically, but usually what happens, if you don't ask anyone who's not been a Rav Moshe and been studying Tanakh for the past couple months, if you ask them on the street, oh, what's Sefer Shoftim about? So what would they say? Probably wars. Probably battles. Probably wars.
Judges.
Probably enemies. So
I was going to say that I'm going to share as men.
Oh, no.
Embarrassing
for you. No, I meant... Although that's the right... Elon, let me explain. Let me explain, Elon. Before
you explain.
Please let me explain. Meaning... Ouch. Meaning that the Iker... That is an Iker part of the Sefer. And if you move... And as you move towards Shmuel... As you move towards Shmuel, you will see that the whole point of the whole push of the people, the next day for the whole push of the people is that they want a leader to lead them in battle. That's an Iker part of the Sefer. That's not necessarily the direction, which I think is the point of the Sefer. Meaning, because right when we learn Psukim, what are we doing?
History.
What do we learn? What does that mean, learning?
History.
About Jewish heritage. How to be awesome.
I like Rafi's answer. How to be awesome. Right. Meaning, anything that's written in the Torah, God wrote it for very specific reasons. Every single passage in the Torah is strictly to teach you how to be the greatest person that you could be. Teach you how to be the greatest Jew that you could be.
Exactly, a sponge.
So, the themes, there are many, there's a lot more which we could talk about. And there's a lot of we could talk about wars. It's just, it happens to be not the direction I'm taking this.
I forgive you.
How I've learned it is that it's a break apart of the leadership, the achdus, in other words, the unity, and the relationship with God, the relationship with Hashem, in general. And as you go through the psukim, you see, and as you go through the stories, you see it falling apart. And all of those, as they break apart, what happens? What's in the center of the triangle?
Wars.
And the Jews go farther and farther down in terms of their control of the land.
Absolutely.
Let's go through each one, shall we? What is the beginning? Let's start with leadership. What is the first pasuk of Shoftim? Come on, boys. And who's going up first? What does Hashem answer?
Yehuda.
Yehuda Ya'ala. Now, who's the first Shofet? Where's Oniel from? Asniel. Where's he from?
Yehuda.
He's from Shefer. Yehuda. In other words, we start off
in Shevet Yehuda.
In Shevet Yehuda,
the best leader.
The best leader, the possible king.
Oh, the great there.
And not only that, if you look at how, look at where he fought.
Wow.
Where,
one second. Hold on to that. If you look at where he fought, just before we get to that. Yehuda is where? It's in the south, right?
Where we are.
Oh, yeah.
Where was his enemy?
Aram the Aram. Where was his enemy?
North. I got your back.
Othniel went south all the way north. It doesn't say anything that he it doesn't say that he took different shvats. It doesn't say anything about it's fine, we'll use the word. It doesn't say anything that he had to gather anyone. He just took the nation, went up north. He was a leader who whenever you were, he was an unbelievable leader. Why wasn't he king? You could say a couple things. Why wasn't he king? You could say very simply that the Jews, maybe, that we see in the second parak, right? In the second parak when they get their first, like, rebuke, it's we didn't kick the non-Jews out of our land, so now we have to learn our lesson. So you can say Shoftim is this process of learning our lesson, quote-unquote, we're not yet ready for a king. Or you could say a bunch of things. You could say that the Jews can't have a king, because the pasuk says, Som tasim alecha melech. So their commentaries, you say that first the Jews have to ask for it. So they never asked for it. Only at Gideon did they ask for it, but Gideon refused it. And maybe even HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to be king yet. You can take it from different directions. Or you can say that Othniel in and of himself, he just wasn't a king, but that would be a whole subject in and of itself. I don't know if we know a lot of information about Othniel in and of himself. You see more, as you get to Shmuel, you can start asking those questions, and you'll have a lot more to work with. Tzrat Hashem in spring. Ask that question again. Why wasn't Yehoshua king? Why wasn't Kalev king? These are great questions. Once you have Shmuel,
and why didn't we just jump straight into king? Why did we have to have Shmuel?
Well, you needed Yehoshua, and then Yehoshua handed it off to the tribes to finish off the job. They never finished off the job. And then, once they didn't finish off the job, finally, only Shmuel brings you. You have to, as you get into Shmuel, you'll be able to answer those questions more. If you want to talk about it more, I'd love to after Shir. Well, now we're going to focus. Next, who's the next leader?
Apparently, Ehud.
Ehud. So I'm going to. I left out the smaller ones. We can talk about the smaller ones also, but I'm trying to stick to the general theme. They fit in the general theme also, but maybe I couldn't fit them on the sheet for whatever reason. I left them out. Ehud, which tribe is Ehud from?
Shmuel.
Nope.
Binyamin.
It was from Binyamin.
Okay.
Who's the just to jump forward when you get to Shmuel, you'll see this. Who was the first king?
Shaul.
Oh. Shaul HaMelech was king, but he was from the tribe Binyamin.
What does that mean?
It's almost as if Binyamin is in Binyamin and Yehuda are right next to each other. Shaul and Binyamin. Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh my crazy. God.
That it's almost like Binyamin is begging, is almost, he's begging to be the second leader. He's connected intrinsically with Yehuda. That it makes a lot of sense why he's next.
It was meant to be.
If you look at the stories, it's not so visible. The difference is sometimes gray, and then you have like a big drop. In terms of the leadership between Othniel and Ehud, is there much of a difference? The only difference would be, there is a difference. What would anyone have any ideas? What would be the difference between Ehud and Othniel? We're all holding the stories.
Othniel, we've seen in Tanakh before.
Say better. Othniel doesn't do anything to gather the people. What does Ehud have to do? He's a loner. It's something you see much later on when you get to the guy with long hair, Shimshon. He's a big time loner. He doesn't first gather people, then fight. First, he kills Eglon.
Is he the first in Asia?
Ehud? Shimshon was before Shmuel. But you hear him saying Ehud? What does Ehud do? He kills Aglon by himself. Meaning it's not necessarily such a representation of a great leader. Who's next?
Devorah.
I could talk about women and Sefer Shoftim for a very long time.
You love women on politics.
I can talk about women and Sefer Shoftim for a very long time. I'm just going to mention it very fast. Women throughout Sefer Shoftim are going farther and farther outside of the house. Farther and farther outside of the house. You can pick it apart yourself. It starts probably with Devorah.
Just second class citizens.
Which is not necessarily, it's not necessarily that they're second class citizens, but it shows you I didn't say that. One of the guys from Shear said that. It shows you how beautiful Judaism is, that it appreciates everyone for who they are and the koach that they have. Now if you look at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, you have Devorah. It's not a bad thing to have a woman in leadership, but Devorah herself says that Barak, it's better for you to go. It's better for the man that's to take the leadership position. The reason for that I'm not going to get into now. If any of you are interested, I could talk about it for a long time. But that concept of Barak, you should take the leadership, shows already that this is Bidyevet. Second, where's Devorah from? Ephraim.
No.
Sefer Shoftim is a constant story, as we see by Gidon and as we see by Yiftach, that Ephraim is always upset. Why? Because you could say maybe because they're left out since Yehoshua. Yehoshua, they didn't really get together. And remember that story that happened with Yosef when they came to Yehoshua and they said, we can't conquer the people. And Yehoshua turns to them and says, like, what's the matter with you guys? You're huge. Menashe and Ephraim were huge. Remember that? Take over the... I forgot which one of the tribes, which one of the Canaanim was. But kick out the Canaanim from the valley. Right? It shows that Ephraim is like, without Yehoshua, they're weak. They're supposed to be, Yosef is supposed to be the leader right next to Yehuda, right? You have Mashiach ben David and you have Mashiach ben Yosef. But Ephraim also, trying to fill in this hole of Yehuda, supposed to be the proper leader, he's also starting to have his failings. But still, the story of Devorah is very successful. It's very successful. Very successful. No?
Yes.
They conquer, they win. But what happens when you get to the next story? Not necessarily failing, but all of a sudden you see the leader not necessarily acting so great. Gidon. What do you see about Gidon? First off, what tribe is he from? Menashe. Menashe is from the tribes of?
Yosef.
So again, Yosef. Trying to fill in the whole of Yehuda. What do we see about Gidon? Towards the end of his story, what does he say to the kings?
He doesn't want to be king.
Before that, but when he's killing the kings, what does he ask them?
He says, "For Hashem, for
who'd you kill?" Well, no, that's good. It's perfect. Perfect. It shows he's selfish. A little bit. Not totally selfish. He's doing it for Hashem, but...
himself too.
Forget him. And also, what does he say at the end? What does he say when he's killing the kings? What do the guys look like when you kill them? And then what do they answer? They look just like you. And then he says, if it wasn't for you guys, if it wasn't for the fact that you killed them, I wouldn't kill you. In other words, what is he doing everything for?
Himself.
What happens at the end of his story when he takes the kingship? He takes all the honey and leaves the bread, so to speak. He takes the benefits of being king, the riches, the wealth, and he leaves The leadership, that's not going to be that Hashem. But the benefits, I'll take that. All of a sudden, you see the leadership falling apart. Yiftach.
You guys
just did Yiftach. Tell me about Yiftach.
They banished him first.
Where is he coming from? Who is this guy? He's a Benzona.
Yeah.
Mamish. He's the Mamish. He's Mamish. Who's he? He's no longer Gidon, who's like this Gibor Chayil, who just needs to hone his strength. Yiftach is like, he's an outcast. He's puny. He's small. What is he? He's from Gad. Why Dafka Gad? As we talked about earlier, when last time I gave a shir, we talked about how that Gad is in Reuven or on the Aver Yarden, on the opposite side. Why? Because they're the Bechor that was rejected. He was the oldest son of Zilpah, and he was rejected. He was put onto the opposite side of the Aver, but he's still a leader. He's still a Bechor, but he's swept under the rug in that aspect.
Yeah, they wanted to.
Maybe because they felt rejected. I don't know how you could say, but the idea is that if, let's say, they didn't ask for it, where would they be? They would be maybe inside Eretz Yisrael, not outside Eretz Yisrael. But they rejected maybe because they did it themselves. Maybe you can understand in different ways. But the concept of them being rejected Bechor, they're still the Bechor, still trying to fill in the leader, but not so much. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you just look through the story of Yiftach, he's constantly saying ani, or anything ending with that suffix that would say me. Why? Selfishness. It's no longer, the Gemara in Horios says, I'm almost finished the Gemara in Horios, Rabban Gamliel turns to his two students and says, I want to make you guys leaders. And you know what they say back to him? They run away. Like, I don't want leadership. I don't want it. And they think, why do they run away from it, Elon? Because they think that
they'll become selfish.
No, it's for them. It's such an honorable position to take on the leadership role, right? Right? It's such an honor. Well, I'm going to become the leader. And you know what Rabban Gamliel says back to them after they didn't take it?
You're selfish.
A leader isn't a leader, and therefore he's controlling the nation. The nation's controlling him. He's a slave to the people.
He should be
a slave to the people. If you look throughout all the leaders, they become batel, meaning they become non-existent almost to the people and to Hashem.
Which is why David did.
While we see the other leaders, I'm not gonna pick out the piece. I'm not gonna pick them out right now. But you can pick it out with Moshe. Moshe's the anav of Tanakh. He's the greatest leader. He totally is mevatel himself. He totally makes himself nothing compared to everyone else. The weak leaders throughout Tanakh are the ones that say me. Yeah. Gidon is able to hold back a civil war. Yiftach is not able to hold back a civil war. It shows you the weakness of a leader. You can see the falling of the leadership. Who's the last shofet? You can even call him that. Shimshon. I'm not going to go into it,
he wasn't last Shofet,
I'm saying in the Sefer, you know, Hanan, but in the Sefer,
no, it is Gezer.
He's on the other side, but he's in. We can talk about anything when you get to Shmuel, but Shimshon, he isn't a leader. He literally doesn't talk to anyone. He's literally a loner, completely all about himself. You'll get there for when you get there. And if the end of Shoftim, I just want to show you this pasuk. We're not going to talk about it, but I just want to show you this pasuk. It'll close the circle. Shimshon is from Dun, which brings us back to our share last, which was why he's the last Shoftim, because Dun is supposed to be the Maaseh. He's supposed to bring everything. He's supposed to, if everything goes wrong, they're done. And even Shimshon fails. When you look at the Sukkim of Shimshon, you'll see that everything, it looks good again. It looks like there's hope. All of a sudden you hear the Yachel, he's gonna start. He's gonna bring back Hashem. He's gonna save the Jews, and then he picks up. You'll see this. He picks up the gates and brings them to Hebron, and nothing. You'll see. You'll see when you get to Shimshon what happens. I want to show you one last pasuk before we switch to the next side, which is the following. I apologize. I don't remember the pasuk off by heart. No. Give me a second. No. Yeah, towards the very end. Look at Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yudche. Someone read it. First one together gets to read it.
Pasuk Chaf, Perek Yudche.
Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yudche?
Yeah.
Okay. Vayakumu v'ya'alu v'yis pel
We saw a little bit of Elohim. Ruben Acer El Miyam.
Whoa, speed is slow.
Yechet.
Whoa. Mi ya'alelanu b'tchila. Anyone remember those words from before? Mi ya'alelanu b'tchila. And then what does Hashem answer? Yeah, sorry. Yehuda b'tchila. Come on. The beginning of Shoftim. Meaning?
So
when you guys get there, this is mamash caught in between the civil war that happens between all of Am Yisrael and Binyamin at the end of the story. It's literally the Jews have the leadership has gone so far the opposite of what it was supposed to be. We started out Yehuda supposed to lead to conquer the nations.
They're scared.
And then what happens? The exact opposite happens. Yehuda, the leader, ends up instead of leading the people to destroy the nations, what's Yehuda now leading? A battle to destroy a Shevet from Yisrael. It's a total flip of everything that was supposed to happen. That happens in every single one of the points that we're gonna talk about with two more points. Everything about Sefer Shoftim flips itself on the head. That we start off with such potential, such power since Yoshua, and then Mi Alelanu Berishot, Yehuda. Mi Alelanu Bitchila, Yehuda. To destroy. Who? Kanaan versus Binyamin. It's a total flip. A lot more to talk about, but let's go to the next side. In terms of unity, Otniel. We've already talked about Otniel is. He's going up. He's conquering everyone. Ehud. Also, very similar. Yeah? Okay. Next, Devorah. What happens in the story of Devorah?
She's taking care of inside.
She's taking care of inside. She's conquering everyone, but still, what do you start hearing in her song? Where's Dan? Where's Asher? Where's Reuven? Right? Remember that? Where are they going? Why is it only Naphtali and Zvulun fighting all the battles, and where's everyone else? You hear that? You hear the question? Where's all the other tribes that aren't mentioned in the song? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Gidon. Civil war. The beginning of a civil war. Yiftach.
Actual civil war.
Shimshon, forget about it. Shimshon, forget about the fact that, again, he's a loner. And that it's only safe. It's only Yehuda, and Yehuda's even going against the Plishtim, right? Meaning Yehuda's going against Shimshon. You'll see it in the story. But unity is totally falling apart. What's causing the unity to fall apart?
The lack of a real leader.
What does it show us, Avi?
You need a king.
You need a king.
Yeah.
Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Do you hear that? Once you just focus on the psukim, focus on what is being said. What's the whole point of Sefer Shoftim? That the whole point is when you get to the end, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. Ein Melech B'Yisrael. Constant. It's the same thing. Ein Melech B'Yisrael. Ein Melech B'Yisrael. What's the whole point of Shoftim? It's to show you that, very simply put.
You need a king.
I'll just throw it out there. Malachim, when you get to Malachim. Of course, you guys are going to be making a Simon Tanakh.
I already said this earlier to Leah,
What?
I already said this earlier to Leah, so I know what you're going to say.
Oh, yeah? When you get to Malachim, you'll see that Malachim is the greatest proof that the last thing we need is a king. Yeah. It shows you the dangers. Yeah. It shows you the extremes.
Crazy stuff.
Man. Yeah, it's definitely crazy. It's definitely crazy stuff. Yeah. Now watch. You ready for the next step?
Show me.
Relationship with Hashem. So as the relationship, the truth is they're interconnected. They're all important and they all affect each other. The relationship with Hashem, I want to take in two different sides. Oh, I got cut off at the bottom. I apologize. Well, you know what's going on. The end of the story, end of Shoftim is the last thing cut off over there. But relationship with Hashem. Open up, please, to Perek Bet, Pasuk Aleph, Sugam Aleph and Bet. Who wants to read?
Malachim Bet.
Shoftim.
Bet.
Bet. Aleph and Bet.
Malach
Hashem min havi olga el habachim vayomer a'el olech. Eschem in
Yisrael
mavi, eschem a'el habarz. Hashem nishbati habosachem vayomer lo afer v'yisei. Itchem lo olam. Yeah, translate.
And an emissary of Hashem went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you up from Egypt and I brought you to the land that I swore to your forefathers. And I said, I shall never annul my covenant with you.
Right, and then the passage continues, Vatem lo sichrasu v'ris liyoshvei haaretz. That what?
But you shall not seal a covenant with
don't join with the nations that live here. Hazos mizbechol sehem titotzun. Destroy their
altars.
Did we?
Nope.
No. So the first step in terms of idolatry is
destroy
them. And did we?
No.
Skip. Go forward. Parak vav pasuk chet nyud through yud. It's beautiful. What I'm trying to do right now, by the way, in general, what I'm trying to do right now is show you how beautiful Tanakh could be if you just open up your eyes a little bit. Look at Parak Vav, Pasuk Chet Tiyud. What happens? Vayishlach Hashem Ish Navi El B'nei Yisrael. Again, more tochacha, more rebuke. Vayomer Lahem, and he said to them, Kol Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So said Hashem, the God of Yisrael. Anochi Aleisi Yetzchem Mi Mitzrayim. Again, you see Mitzrayim. We'll get to that. We'll get back to that in a second. If you remember, we saw Mitzrayim earlier. I brought you out from the base of Adim. Mitzrayim, I saved you. Miyad kol lo chatzeichem. Everyone like tried to, bite you or like yell at you. Vagareish osam ibnechem. That nalachem is hartzam. I gave you their land. You ready for this next pasuk, Shalom?
Do it.
Vomra lachem ani Hashem lokechem lo siru es elokei amori. Don't fear the God of Emori. It's no longer don't destroy. Don't fear the God of Emori. Asher etem yoshvim baratzam, that you're sitting in their land. Velo shematem b'chuli, and you didn't listen to my voice. Now what happens in Gidon, which is the next parak? What's happening in Gidon? What does Gidon destroy? His father's
idols.
All of a sudden, you see that the Jews are
getting better.
Doing
Shiva.
Not Gidon. The people are worshiping idols.
Yeah. All of a sudden.
I'm not saying all of a sudden. I'm not saying all of a sudden, but I'm saying from Perek Bet all the way to Perek Vav, you should destroy them. And then what's happening in Perek Vav?
They're worshiping them.
It kept saying in all of them, they started worshiping the idols of the land, and then after that Hashem got mad at them, and then...
It doesn't say all of them. I'm showing you, we're picking apart all the different places where Hashem speaks to them. So the first one was just destroy. It doesn't say you guys are worshiping, it says destroy. Now it's saying don't fear them. And you didn't listen to me. And then we see that they are worshiping idols. And what happens at the end of Gidon? He's got some sort of ephod and trafim. That all of Israel go after. Then all of a sudden there's this idolatry. Whatever that represents, we'll get there in a second, maybe.
Wait, in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Zion says that they worship the Baalim and the Asherah trees.
Beautiful.
I think that's before that happened. They're still worshiping idols. It's not like they just started worshiping idols to get them.
Right, but I'm... But it's not me. What was it? Absolutely. And then look at the next pasuk. But now that you just said something beautiful. And then what happened? Vayichar af Hashem v'Yisrael v'yimkarim v'yad Kushan Rosh Hashayim. What's the whole reason that there's wars? Shaul! What's the whole reason what they're... Because they're doing Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
But you see, maybe you'll see more as we go. The first rebuke, you focus on the rebuke that Hashem's giving them. It shows you the shlav, it shows you where they are. Kadosh Baruch Hu says destroy it. They don't destroy it, so yeah. Some people are worshipping idols. The Baal, the Asherah. The next step, Kadosh Baruch Hu already says, you're right, Kadosh Baruch Hu already says, what?
Wait, also very bad they worship idols.
Kadosh Baruch Hu already says, you didn't listen to me. Meaning they did already.
Right.
And then we see an increase.
Decrease.
You know what I'm saying? Meaning every rebuke is an increase of what was happening in the previous. Do you know what I'm saying? Kadosh Baruch Hu says destroy them. You didn't destroy them in
the previous
parak when all the tribes are going one after another, not destroying the people.
Okay.
The next parak, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them rebuke. Then throughout the program, you see a little bit of Avodah Zarah. Then Gidon, it's a focus of the story.
Fine.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Next. Look at Perek Yud, please. Please look at Perek Yud. Rafi, you get to read it. Sukkim Yud Ben Yud Gimel.
Yes.
Me too. What does Parak Yud say? Yud. Yud Aleph and Yud Bet.
Oh, you know, sorry.
Vayomer Hashem.
Vayomer Hashem, El B'nei Yisrael, Halom Mitzrayim, Umin Ha'amori, Umin B'nei Yisrael, Umin B'nei Amon, Umin Plishtim. Yisidonim, V'amalek, V'ma'on, Lachatsu, Etcham, V'titzaku, Elay, V'oshia, Etcham, Yadam.
I saved you from everyone, right? V'atem, Azavtem Oti. It's much more serious than you didn't. What was the first puzzle we saw in Vav? You didn't listen to me. We saw in Vav. You didn't listen to me. What's Azavtem? You left me. The difference between not listening to someone. What happens when you're not listening to someone? You're sitting in shir. And whatever, you're just spacing out. But when you leave, you are mamish, not even in the room. You're not even in the same building. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, where are they?
That's why I never fit.
One thing is that you didn't destroy the idols. That's one thing. The second thing is you didn't listen to me. The third thing is you left. Where are you? Ayeka, where are you? Where am I? And then look at the last puzzle. Vayasira selokeh hanechar mikir bam. Get rid of the idols that are within you. At this point, the Jews are mamish worshiping. It's rampant. And as you see at the last parak, this is by the way, if you remember Chaf Gimel Chaf Dalet of Yehoshua, do you guys remember? It's a lot of oomph. It's a good word. A lot of power there. A lot of don't worship idols, destroy the people. Right? If you look, I'm just gonna throw this out there. If you look at if that, and then you try and compare the words, the same words. Thing that Yehoshua is saying to them, what are the people doing in Shoftim?
They're worshiping idols.
Totally uprooting everything Yehoshua said.
Right.
It's the same words? The flip. And then at the end of Sefer Shoftim, you'll see it when you get there, is Pesel Micha, which is a total, I don't know, worship of idols. It's the whole story is focused on the fact that they worship idols. And I'll just throw this in there. Where's Shiloh in the whole story of Shoftim? It ain't there. Where's Shiloh? Look at the last. If you look at the last, the last paragraph. The last paragraph in Shoftim, the people have no clue how to get. They have to give directions to tell you how to get to Shoftim. How to get to Shiloh? They don't know where Shiloh is.
The last paragraph.
This is something really cool. The last paragraph of Shoftim. Who was the only Shofet to have Nevuah? Devorah. You know what the Gemara says about Devorah in Megillah? I'm pretty sure it's Megillah.
Is it the end of Megillah?
Is that she made the psilo? Yeah, it says in Megillah. She made the psilo for the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. What does that show about Devorah that she actually cares? Why did it say lapidot? Remember that word lapidot? So lapidot, it's very similar to psilo. It's the Aishas lapidot. She's a woman of fire. It's very similar to psilo that she made the wicks of the Beis HaMikdash.
Could you imagine?
Oh yeah. Oh nice.
It'd be crazy.
Could you imagine? Wait one second. Could you imagine a woman who makes the wicks of the Beis HaMikdash? What does that show? What does that show about the woman? It shows she cares about the Mishkan Hashem. It shows she cares about the Mishkan Hashem, and that's why she gets. Nevuah. The closer you get to the Beis HaMikdash, the closer you get to God. The closer you are to Nevuah. The farther you get from the Beis HaMikdash, the farther you are from this idea of Nevuah. Because it shows that you are now on a lower level of relationship with Hashem. We're working up towards it. That we're so far away? Absolutely. Why is there no Karis nowadays? Because we're so far away. Karis nowadays. Because we're so far away from Hashem. I just want to finish up. I just want to run through the last. We already talked about the idolatry in Gidon, in Parak Yud. It's rampant. What was I going to say? Oh, in terms of the relationship with Hashem, you just see it going down. You mamish see it going down. By the time you get to, I'll say it this way. By the time you get to Yiftach, Hashem isn't even mentioned. Hashem's mamish not even mentioned in the story. Only Yiftach is the only one who mentions Hashem a little bit. Throughout the whole story, when Gidon meets an angel, what is it like? It's like, whoa. It's like, cool. When you'll get, this is literally the next story. When Shimshon's parents see an angel, what happens?
Whoa.
They think they're going to die. Whoa. I can't believe I just saw it. Crazy. It's insane. I can't believe we just saw Mel. I think we're going to die. Why? It shows because it's like, whoa. It's... I've never seen that in my life before, but by Gideon, it's still a little normal. Gideon himself says, even Gideon himself says, where are you? Where's Hashem? Where's all these signs that he did since Mitzrayim? The reason Hashem keeps bringing up Mitzrayim is strictly because it's a midrash. It's a midrash. Why don't we relate to Hashem as not the one who took us out of Mitzrayim, but the one who took us out of the one who created the world?
Because no one was there at creation.
That's definitely a shlav. I want to take. That's definitely true, and it's definitely what Rishonim say. But for our sake, I want to go with Noach. What did you just say, Noach? In other words, when I ask why is God our God, what about this? When we say Hashem is our God. Does that mean that he's not the God of everyone else?
No.
He is the God of everyone else. But what does it mean that he's our God? He's the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. He didn't take anyone else out of Mitzrayim. He created the world. He created everyone else. But he took us out of Mitzrayim. He did the Esther Makos for us. He brought the Mun down for us. Huh?
The red team.
He brought us to Eretz Yisrael. Right, that's why Yiftach is saying that. Yiftach still is connected to Hashem a little bit. By the time he gets to Shana, it's done. But this concept of why is Hashem constantly mention this idea of Mitzrayim is strictly because of the idea that Hashem is almost moaning over the fact that there's this relationship that the Jewish people have lost over the whole Sefer Shoftim. I hope you guys benefit a little bit, a lot from this year.
Yeah, cool.